Did you receive an Amazon Echo or Google Home for Christmas? Well, you can easily use these devices as your Lutheran listening loudspeaker. On Amazon Echo, say, Alexa, play Lutheran Talk Radio, or Alexa, play Lutheran Public Radio. On Google Home, say, Hey Google, play Lutheran Talk Radio, or Hey Google, play Lutheran Public Radio. Listen to Lutheran Talk or Lutheran Music 24/7 with Amazon Echo or Google Home. That's the hymn, From Depths of Woe I Cry to Thee. You usually don't think, when you think of godly habits, a big feature of the series we're doing with Pastor Will Wheaton, you usually don't think of an admission of your desperate sinfulness. How do those two go together? We're going to be talking about, confessing one's sin, but not only that, confessing one's sin and receiving God's absolution in our ongoing series on Lutheran piety with Pastor Will Wheaton. He's director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's host of a radio show called Thy Strong Word, and he's author of the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for January, titled Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Will, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Joy to be with you.
The whole framework here is godly habits and developing godly habits. And someone thinking of that category might not consider admitting how sinful you are a godly habit. How would you respond?
My first response to that would be to ask, why don't you go ask whether or not, ask the people you live with whether or not it would be a good habit for you to have or not. Because certainly they are the ones who experience up close and personal the way that our pride gets in the way of relationships and these barriers and walls that we throw up because we will not come clean. We will not admit when we have hurt another person, when we have injured them. And, you know, if we can see the value of this in human relationships, and I think anybody giving it, you know, all you have to do is think about what you want other people to do it. And they're like, well, yeah, I would. Then you can also see how it would apply even more so to that moment when we come together as the people of God to speak the truth of God about ourselves and our sin. Simply comes down to this: speaking truth is a very good habit for us to get into. And when you confess your sins, you are first and foremost speaking truth about yourself.
It's there in the word confess, or at least in the Greek word to confess, there's something there about kind of echoing back what God has to say about us in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, you could almost literally render it as same saying, to say the same thing as, and that's actually very helpful when we recognize that the way the church has used the word confession is far bigger than just sins. We confess the faith. And we also see that to confess before God is also to give him praise and glory, to say about him what he has said about himself. So all the word confess really carries with it that sense of agreeing with God, saying the same thing as God. We have that delightful little ditto that we can use in the church where God can say something really profound about himself, and we have a way of confessing it with a single word. We just say, amen. That is, yeah, what you just said, that's the truth. That's all that you can take that to the bank. That's true. And when we do this in regard to sin, we're doing it we're confessing the truth that God has said about us as people, about our own state before him.
Now, most people will encounter this in the divine service on Sunday morning during the liturgy, almost first thing. There is a public and corporate confession of sin. Talk about that one.
Yeah, isn't that weird that I really do think the church is about the only place in the world where this happens, where a bunch of people get together on a regular basis and speak the truth about how awful they really are and confess that they're much worse than even they themselves know. It is a remarkable thing as a public act in the world, and yet the church has done this for a very long time. The prayers that we're going to be talking about a little later on in the public service are not modern things. They've been around for a very long time. The oldest form of the confession in the divine service is actually one that we're sort of used to in Compline. I confess to Almighty God before the whole company of heaven and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed. And these are the crucial words. By my fault. By my own fault. By my own most grievous fault. Wherefore, I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me, forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. That's usually called the confiteor, and it is one of the older forms of making confession of our sins. And the great thing about it is it's owning up. That triple underscore of it is my fault. I am not here blaming anybody else. I am owning up that this is me and my problem. I am confessing that. And then the other, if it's okay to talk about some of the specific forms that sort of show up in the divine service with this, because they all have one thing that's, I think, beautifully in common with them, and that's that they start out, before you get to the actual confession, they start out with some sort of a reassurance of God's forgiveness up front. Divine Service 1 and 2, they go first of all to 1 John. And the amazing words, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth's not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's this confidence that God actually wants to forgive and cleanse us that gives his people the courage to step into his presence, to drop the fig leaves and all the pointings and excuses and simply speak the truth about ourselves publicly to each other. Similarly, that's for Divine Service 1 and 2, but in Divine Service Setting 3, the words of Psalm 32, I said I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Divine Service 4, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. So that sort of lays a groundwork of grace in which these brutal words of the confession will be spoken.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. When we come back, as we talk about Lutheran piety and confession of sins and absolution, this confession seeks something only God can give.
You can meet and hear Hank Hanegraaff, Hans Feeney, Scott Klusendorf, Craig Parton, Will Wheaton, Angus Manoogue, and Jonathan Fisk at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. Early bird registration is $110. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Listening to God's Word, daily prayers, frequent and faithful reception of the Eucharist, confession of sins and absolution, good works. Learn more about the life of Lutheran piety in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. It's written by regular guest Pastor Will Wheaton. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
O Lord, hear my prayer.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our series on Lutheran piety with Pastor Will Whedon, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January. Thank, praise, serve, and obey. Recover the joys of piety. We're talking about confession of sins and absolution. Staying with the confession for a moment here, Will, I noticed that the way these things are formulated, this is not this kind of, I don't know, wallowing narcissism that we often find in or just a man hitting bottom or something like that. It's not breastfeeding. This confession of sin seeks something that only God can give in answer to our desperate sinfulness.
Yeah, yeah. And I really like that you stress that because, you know, when you're speaking the truth about your sin, then how you're particularly feeling about that sin at the moment, you know, your sinful condition is really quite irrelevant. You're not there to wallow in how awful you feel about the things you've done. That's not confession. Confession is to speak the truth about the things you've done, whether you feel awful about them or not, to speak the truth and lay it out there in the light of God's word.
I want to explore that for just a moment before we go on, because I think this is the one thing that hangs up people, especially when we're talking about developing godly habits. They're going to be like, I'm not feeling it, Pastor. I know that I'm a sinner, but I can't muster the sufficient angst. I know mm-hmm. that the words are there before me in the divine service, that they're actually printed there for me to speak and say and pray, but I'm not feeling it.
I'm not feeling it, right. I mean, this is just so crucial. This, what the Word of God says about you is true regardless of how you feel. This is true both of your, on the side of feeling sorrow of heart for your sins. It's also true on the side of when you feel, you hear the words of the absolution and you can still say, but I feel so condemned. I feel so guilty. I mean, if on the other side, right?
Sure.
Where somebody's saying, if I'm going by my feeling here, I'm not feeling this relief in this. The whole point of the liturgy of the Word of God, pulling us out of ourselves, is to yank us from using our ground, to stop trying to ground reality in this shifting quicksand of emotion and ground the reality in the sure and certain commands and promises of God. If God says it, it is so. You can count on it. And then you know, what happens is we gradually see that our feelings come to be conformed to the word, not the word to our feeling. Does that make sense?
So let's talk a little bit more about what we find there in the divine service by way of how the confession of sins is stated and what profound, and in a lot of ways, these are articles of faith. Even when we're talking about our own sin, we don't see all our sin. We are not aware of all of it. The magnitude of it and the nature of it really has to be believed rather than based upon kind of how I can plumb the depths of my activity or my thoughts, words, and deeds.
And this is pastoral kindness on the part of God. If God were to show Todd Wilkin what Todd Wilkin really is like all in one moment, Todd Wilkin would shatter. He would be crushed. He would give up. He would simply walk away and say, forget it. There is no help. There is no. So God, in his great mercy and love, he doesn't show us all the time how we are. He gives this light that shows the truth about us, but he doesn't let us have to see it all in its brilliance and, you know, and detail all at once. He deals with us very kindly. So when we look at the confessions, we're seeing very clear statements from Scripture about our nature, how we are as sinners before God, and yet they're stated in such a way as not to drive the sinner into abject despair. So can I go ahead and get into some of those specifically?
Yeah, take us into the formula, so to speak.
Sure. These are the formulas, if you will. These are the way that the church has prayed. And by the way, these are not, these are the ones that we're going to be looking at from Lutheran Service Book. There really are some, I have to confess, my all-time favorite confession of sins is actually not Lutheran. It's from the Book of Common Prayer. O Almighty God, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us but thou, O God. And it goes on. Just a beautiful confession of sins. But these are the ones that we have in our service book right now, and they're all, they have their roots in Lutheran liturgies across the centuries. So the first one, we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done. And by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. We have this in Divine Service Settings 1 and 2. And I remember when this form of confession first became popularized in Lutheran worship, some of our people were they were like, well, I don't like saying we. I need to say I. Well, but stop and read your Bible, and you'll see, like, when Daniel makes confession, he speaks for the whole people. We, you know, all of Israel is joined together in that we have done this. The sin impacts us as a whole people. So the we speaking there is also a way of saying that it's not just me and my individual sin. It comes back to what David said in Psalm 51, against you only have I sinned and done that evil in your sight. Well, Bathsheba, Uriah, there were others who weren't sinned. Yes, they were all sinned against, because the one who is speaking this confession is a collective person. It always has more to do that it's always bigger than just the individual. It always has bigger impact than the individual. So this particular confession is unique in the way that it pulls out the language by nature. And that's very common. I mean, Lutherans hear that and go, that's right out of our confessions. That's a good way of confessing it. And of course, it is out of our confessions. Even more so, it's right out of Scripture. And people say, well, where does it say in Scripture that we have a sinful nature? Well, Ephesians chapter 2 says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So there, all of us, all of mankind, described as we are by nature, as being children of wrath. Can I deal with the peculiarities of that phrase a little bit? Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, because this is something that at the Reformation got kind of muddy and took a little bit of clarifying. Because there were those who said, well, you know, sin is in our nature, that's true. But we need to be very careful not to maximize sin. And the response to that was, oh yeah, you know, it's so bad that to be human is to be sinful. And that particular overstatement, minimizing it or maximizing it, had to be addressed. And our confessions flat out reject the identification of humanity with sin in itself. Our human nature is not sin. Christ did not assume sin. Christ doesn't redeem sin. Christ doesn't glorify sin. Christ did not assume a sinful nature. He assumed a human nature, redeemed and healed that nature. And at his appearing, he's going to glorify our nature by raising our bodies from the dead. But the point is, only he can make this distinction between us and this thing that infects us. The best example I can come up with is, it's like this stage 4 cancer that's spread all through human nature, and none of us is capable of sort of pulling out the sin and leaving the nature behind. Only God can do that. He is able to zap the corruption and salvage the nature, and he does that through death and resurrection. That's where we're headed with that. So when we say that we're by nature sinful, what we are saying, first of all, is that the sins then that arise in our life, the concrete acts that we do or fail to do, all of those things are not what make us sinful. Rather, all of those failures of action or in thought or word or deed, they all spring from this brokenness, this corruption that we're conceived in. David said, I was brought forth in iniquity and sin my mother conceived me. Todd, you're a parent, you're a grandparent, you've seen it, you know it. G.K. Chesterton said it's the only doctrine of the church that you can objectively demonstrate, and yet it is so disbelieved. But it is so easy to objectively demonstrate. Take the cutest little bundle that looks so sweet and innocent, and then give it time. The corruption manifests itself. Does a parent ever have to teach a child to be selfish? Does it ever have to teach a child to stomp its foot and say, no, and I won't? No, it comes out from inside of them. That's the way they come into this world. And the Bible, again, is really brutal in how it depicts this. Genesis 6, verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on earth, and get these words, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I remember arguing with my brother-in-law about this once, and he's like, that's got to be hyperbole, right? You know, and I was like, I don't think it's a hyperbole. I think he meant exactly what he said, but that's just really harsh. I'm like, I think if you hold it up to the eyes of pure holiness and pure love, yes, then every intent of the thought of our heart is every last one of them. We're bent in on ourselves. They're corrupted from the get-go. So we confess that when we say that we are by nature sinful and unclean. And you know, the sure sign that we are that way is that none of us wants to be able to own up to that. We don't want to say, well, you know, I'm not quite that bad, am I? You know, seriously, you've got to be exaggerating a little bit. We're doing the exact opposite here of the spoiled little brat who cries out, you know, that's not fair. We're saying, no, it would be entirely fair. If God were to damn us, to send us to hell, that would be totally fair. And we sort of confess that very clearly in the second confession, which I wanted to draw out. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities. Lump them all together. I'm not going to try to sort them out. With which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. In other words, I've deserved whatever sufferings will come my way in this world. I have deserved every last one of them, and worse, I've deserved hell itself. This is something that the Word of God reveals about me, that I am a sinner worthy of hell. The soul that sins, it shall die. I have sinned. I deserve death, eternal death. The confession literally has us confess that, lay it right out before God.
Thought, word, and deed.
Go ahead. Yeah, that's another expression there that's so very helpful. Our sins are not just... Jesus is so good about this in the Sermon on the Mount, right? He was dealing with people who thought, we haven't been that bad. And he's like, really? So you shall not murder. And you think, I haven't stuck a knife in anybody lately there, you know? It's got to be okay. And he's like, what's going on in that heart? What have you done with that mouth? Have you murdered them in your heart with hatred? Have you murdered them with your tongue, with insult? If so, you've broken this commandment, because God never deals with you simply on the basis of this external stuff. He looks all the way down to your heart, which in the Bible is always the center of your desiring, what you want. He looks at your wanter. And he finds our wanters to be quite thoroughly sinful, period. And it shows up then in all these other ways. Now, sometimes, I'll throw a real quick comment out here. People will say, well, then all sins are equal before God. This is true before God. Coram Deo, all sins are equal. It's not true that all sins have the same effect in the community of man. So if a husband has a lustful thought, if he sees a beautiful woman walking down the street, that does much less damage to his family than if he were to say, well, I've already committed adultery with her in my heart, I might as well go ahead and commit adultery. That would be a very different type of thing. And so the damage could be very much greater when sins are acted out. But before God, God looks all the way down at the heart and says, so that is a sinful heart, and it shows itself in its thoughts and words and deeds.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. He's author of The Issues, Etc., a book of the month for January titled Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. He has signed copies of that book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and we are sending them to first-time donors to Issues, Etc. during the months of January and February. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check, make your check payable to Issues, Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And thanks for your first-time gift. We will send you Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, signed by the author, Pastor Will Wheaton, our guest in this hour. In part four of our series on Lutheran piety, we're talking about confession of sins and absolution. When we come back, notice how general the confession is.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Did you make a New Year's resolution to get in shape this year? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness at Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness can help you keep your New Year's resolution. Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. PerformanceFitness618.com.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday afternoon, we continue our series on Lutheran piety. We're talking about confession of sins and absolution. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. A little bit later, we're going to conclude another series. This is our five-part series on progressive versus classical Lutheran education. Today, we'll be talking with Dr. Thomas Korchak about catechization and the school. Pastor Wheaton, I noticed something about the formula of those confessions before we go on to talk about the absolution. They are very, very general. They're not vague, but they are general. And in my past, I've occasionally been subjected to pastors who got what they thought was the bright idea of writing their own confession of sins. And almost invariably, they get so specific with sins that they start enumerating sins that, well, quite frankly, don't uniformly apply to every Christian. Why is it a good thing to keep it general and not get specific like that?
It's one of the banes, I think, of people trying to be relevant as they try to write these specific sins into confession. And the church very intentionally avoids doing that at all. We're not going to presume to press a certain kind of sin upon any one person. We just won't do that. We recognize instead that there is this bent, corrupt nature inside of every one of us that manifests itself in sometimes very personally unique and creative, can you call them creative ways, that your sin may not at all be the same as mine, at all. And why should I presume that knowing my own sinful heart that the stuff that I've done is going to be the stuff that you need to confess having done? I'm all for the general tone of the church's confession of sin in public confession.
I would like you to simply say something at this point, since these general confessions do not enumerate sins. There is, in the church's life and in the life of Lutheran piety, a wonderful way that if one feels the need to enumerate certain sins that trouble them, there is private confession and absolution.
Yeah, absolutely. Sort of the big second thing that we drive to in that chapter of Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey is when you've gone to church, you've made the public confession, and you've heard the absolution, and you were comforted, you thank God, and you wake up in the middle of the night in a sweat and you're remembering it all again, and it's still, you're feeling very pressed by something that you've done. And you feel the need to hear a word of forgiveness specifically targeted at that. This is what private confession is there for the sins that literally terrify you, that the stuff that's still waking you up. If it's that kind of sin, this is what private confession is for. And it is such a gift in the church. I hope it's okay. I want to read the Donne poem. Because John Donne sort of captures the Christian struggle to believe in forgiveness, which is far harder than most Christians are willing to face up to. He says, "Wilt thou forgive that sin where I begun, which was my sin, though it were done before? Wilt thou forgive that sin through which I run, and do run still, though still I do deplore? When thou hast not done, for I have more. Wilt thou forgive that sin which I have won others to sin and made my sin their door? Wilt thou forgive that sin which I did shun a year or two but wallowed in a score? When thou hast done, thou hast not done, for I have more. I have a sin of fear that when I have spun my last thread, I shall perish on the shore. But swear by thyself that at my death, thy sun shall shine as he shines now and heretofore. And having done that, thou hast done. I fear no more." Of course, playing on his name, Donne. But he describes there in the end this fear that I think drives toward the gift of private confession and absolution. In the small catechism, we ask very specifically, what sins should we confess? And we're told, you know, in public, you would confess all your sins like you do in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But before the pastor, you confess only those sins, quote, which we know and feel in our hearts. That is the stuff that is weighing down on you. And confession is this wonderful gift placed into the church for people who have stuff weighing down on them to be able to hear God speak to them. Yes, yes, that too. Under the blood of my son, forgiven and gone. And it's so sad that so many Lutherans today have never had this experience of private confession and absolution, not to speak of so many other, even, let's be honest, so many Catholics have never had this experience anymore. And it was something that was so treasured. The Lutheran confessions flat out assert it would be wicked to remove private confession and absolution from the church. Well, we have been very wicked, very naughty indeed. And the result is we've left a bunch of people struggling with their sin on their own instead of letting them have the comfort, which is the power to break the sin and to deliver them. The word of absolution spoken. Can we kind of run through that, right? I know it's...
No, I wanted to just, you know, make that point, yeah, about private confession. I want to come back to it. But
okay,
before we get into the formula for the absolutions, you have a very, very important thing for us to remember. And this is, absolution is not a gift we can give ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Externos. It comes from the outside in. Self-absolution, no absolution. Absolution is something that God wants to speak into your ear from using the voice of another person. Always it comes from the outside in. Beautiful, beautiful the way that he arranges that. Is when it's based on you, you could always doubt, was that real? Was that for sure? When it's coming to you from the other person, God's promised. Here it is. Believe it. This is a word put in my mouth from God for you to hear. Trust it.
So what form does it take? How will we encounter the words that answer a confession of sins?
If we talk about the absolutions themselves, the key to get them is that in each one of these, you have the delivery from the final altar of the cross of words of fiery, burning, divine love delivered into the ears of those who hear them. So, Almighty God in his mercy has given his son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all your sin as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority. I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Similarly, in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our most familiar one. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And notice how, just like the confession wasn't piecemeal, you weren't going through and naming this, that, the other, the absolution is whole, because it's the absolving of a person, not of individual acts, right? You are reconciled through the blood of Jesus to the Father, and this gift is given to you, placed into your ears with the promise in absolution.
You say that absolution is not piecemeal, it is not partial.
Yeah, all the sins, just like in confession, all the sins are swept up into a pile and owned, and just as God on the cross swept them all up and put them on his Son. So in absolution, this is the forgiveness that is announced to the world of all sin. He doesn't forgive you little bit by little bit. In Jesus, all sin forgiven, gone, under the blood, answered for, every last one.
This kind of answers a very common misconception about confession and absolution, which is, I'm absolved on the Lord's Day, and then I kind of start accruing the sins again, and they reach this critical mass where by the next Lord's Day, I confess them, and I'm absolved again. But I'm kind of getting a week's worth of absolution there, or that somehow the absolution doesn't account for what has come before, but not for what is yet to come.
Yeah, I really can't say it any clearer than absolve. It's not that it absolves sins. It's that in absolution, God absolves sinners. It is his embrace of you as a person, and not merely him dealing with some of the things that you have done. And that's huge. You know, when you think about the prodigal son, the father didn't say, I forgive you for wasting my money. I forgive you for the money that you spent on the drugs. I forgive you for the money that you blew in the wild parties. I forgive you for the money you spent on the women. He doesn't do any of that, right? He throws his arms around his son and welcomes him back as one who has been brought back from death to life. Absolution is that embrace of the Father around us, his arms thrown around us, welcoming us with joy as his children. This is what makes absolution be so wonderfully sweet.
A few moments ago, we talked about what happens if you are confessing your sins and you're not feeling the angst, you're not feeling that confession of sins. When we come back, what if you're not feeling the absolution? You've heard the absolution that's been declared to you, but how you feel about your sin yourself hasn't changed much. Pastor Will Wheaton will answer that question on the other side of the break.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Why does it feel like everyone's always angry on social media? What exactly is a podcast? Is digital technology helping or hurting your spiritual life? How can the church harness the power of the internet to reach the lost? If these questions hit home for you, you won't want to miss this month's issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine on digital technology and the church. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Most Christian schools today use the same books, teaching methods, and structure as America's failing anti-Christian public schools. We owe it to our fathers and descendants in the faith to offer a distinctively Lutheran education. Redeemer Classical School in Fort Wayne, Indiana, offers a time-tested education in the great books of the Western world and the Catechism and Confessions of the Lutheran Church. Visit fortwayneclassical.com to learn more about our curriculum, enroll your children, or sponsor the education of young Lutherans. That's fortwayneclassical.com.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Pastor Will Whedon, author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January, Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety, a series with him on Lutheran piety, talking about confession of sins and absolution. This book is a great resource because it actually delivers what it promises on the cover, Recover the Joys of Piety. It makes all the proper biblical distinctions with regard to law and gospel. It is, I'll just kind of give it away. It is, in a lot of ways, just a walk through Luther's small catechism, and it delivers on that joyful encouragement that is given not in our piety, but in the source of the Christian's life of piety, the comfort of God's gospel in Jesus Christ. You can find out more about Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety by Pastor Will Whedon at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January, Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey by Pastor Will Whedon. Pastor Whedon, earlier you addressed the issue of when you're not feeling the confession. And you touched on this just a little bit, but what about that person who says, I'm not feeling the absolution?
Yeah, and we have to be able to set aside how we feel and learn to rely on what God promises. And if God says to you, your sins are worthy of damnation, whether you're trembling or not, your sins are worthy of damnation. And if God says to you, I have put all of your sins onto my Son, and in Him, they are gone. He has answered for every last one of them. Then even if you still feel as guilty as hell itself, you need to be able to say, ah, God will not lie to me. My sins are no longer on me. He has placed them on the Lamb of God who has borne them all, and in Him I am forgiven.
Someone will naturally ask Pastor Whedon, what about that person who isn't sorry for their sins, who has no terror of conscience, maybe even who walks away saying, as you've often said, this is a great deal because I like to sin, God likes to forgive, and that's the best bargain in the world.
Yeah, and it, I deal with the book with some of the absolutions that the church tried to sort of frame to make sure that somebody didn't hear the absolution and walk away with it like that. The example that I provide from the Church Order Braunschweig-Wolfenbüttel is one of my favorites. Almighty God has mercy on you, and by the merit of the most holy suffering, death, and resurrection of His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, He forgives you all your sins. And I, as an ordained minister of the church, announce to all of you who truly repent and who by faith place all their trust in the sole merit of Jesus Christ and who intend to conform their lives according to the command and will of God, the forgiveness of all your sin. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. But to all who are impenitent and unbelieving, I say, on the basis of God's word and in the name of Jesus Christ, God has retained your sin and will surely punish them. It has been long noted the difficulty with this kind of an absolution is that the people who are into God loves to forgive and I love to sin, they just yawn and go on their way anyway. And a lot of terrified consciences hearing this message think, oh, the forgiveness really isn't for me. I don't know if I'm really repentant the way I should be. So they feel deprived of it. I think it was a wise choice when the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod followed the oldest Saxon tradition of having the absolution be wide open, free in its proclamation, even in the divine service. The place to deal with those other questions of conscience really is the sermon and then in private confession and absolution.
So back to private confession.
Yeah.
I think what probably, in terms of developing a godly habit or living in these godly habits, is the biggest obstacle is that people just don't know what awaits them.
Yeah, there's a lot of times they're afraid of how it's going to be. And a lot of times people say, I'm afraid, what will the pastor think of me if he knows this? I always tell people, don't worry, he thinks worse than that because he already knows his own sinful heart. And trust me, that's really bad already. So there's nothing you're going to bring out in private. I've heard confessions for years. I've never been shocked. There's never been anything that I thought, oh my. And every last one of us stands before God as a beggar. And we're all wounded. Not that the wounds are all in the same way, but we are all very deeply wounded by sin in our heart of hearts. And this is what you come to confess in private confession and absolution. And I thought exactly like you said, to sort of take some of the mystery out of it, let's just kind of walk through how it would go, how it works. First thing you got to notice is this is the first service that you're going to encounter in the church where you actually start it. The pastor doesn't start it. You come up and you lay the orders on him. Pastor, please hear my confession and pronounce forgiveness in order to fulfill God's will. I love that. The will of God is the forgiveness of your sin. His will is that you hear, believe, and rejoice that in Jesus they are gone. And in that struggle, he provides this gift for you. So the pastor then says, proceed, or Zagan in German, you know, speak on. The penitent, confessing the sins, then goes, I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before God of all sins. I have lived as if God did not matter and as if I mattered most, commandment number one. My Lord's name I have not honored as I should, commandment number two. My worship and prayers have faltered, commandment number three. I have not let his love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin, all the rest of the commandments. And here is where the penitent usually stumbles a little bit. Because instead of speaking about the generality of sin, now comes the time to actually name whatever is troubling you. What troubles me particularly is that. There's no script. You know, nobody can tell you what to say there. The pastor will be quiet and he will wait and listen. And he won't know that you're done until you come to the back to the formula of saying, I'm sorry for all this and I ask for grace. I want to do better. He just allows the silence to go until you name what it is that's troubling you. And sometimes it can take an awful lot the first time around to get the words out, what it is that's eating you. I'm sorry for all this and ask for grace. I want to do better. That last little bit really is key, because that's the difference between a penitent sinner and an impenitent sinner. An impenitent sinner says, I want the get out of hell free card and I want the freedom to continue doing exactly what I'm doing. Whereas the penitent sinner says, I want to be freed from this. I recognize it's pig slop. I've been living in the far country. I don't want this anymore. I want to be home. I want to live with that. Borrow again from the prodigal son. The pastor gives the blessing. God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith. Amen. And then comes this fascinating question. Do you believe that my forgiveness is God's forgiveness? And it's not the question anyone expects. Everybody expects, are you really sorry for your sins? That's not even on the table. It's like, do you believe that the word that I'm going to speak to you now is from God? I once was doing confession. I had a guy literally stop me dead there and say, so help me understand how that can be again. We went back to John 20, read the words, Easter evening. Jesus says, whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. And so it's in the power of those words that I would speak this to you. And he goes, okay, let's go back. You can continue. Was able then to speak the words, let it be done for you as you believe. The pastor then literally places his hands onto the top of the penitent's head and says, instead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then I really want to, there's a little note that says the pastor will know other passages to comfort the person with. This is where I will never forget having confessed one time after I took my call here to be pastor at St. Paul, and I had to leave my mom, who had Alzheimer's, pretty far along there in Virginia. We were serving in North Carolina, so not too many hours away. And just feeling like I'd abandoned my mom. It was a horrible feeling. And I confess my breaking here of the fourth commandment. And so at the end of the confession, the pastor literally sat before me. He says, "And I want you to think about Jesus on the cross and how he took care of his mom." And immediately I was like, "Oh man, that's exactly it. That's what I haven't thought." And he goes, No, I'm not holding that before you as Christ your example. I'm holding that before you as Christ your righteousness. What you failed to do, he has done. And he has done perfectly. And he did it for you." And it was like a brand new absolution all over again. It was very, very, very sweet. And it stays with me to this day. I'm very grateful to that confessor for speaking that that word to me. One last thing on the private confession is, you know, pastors in our churches, I'll make a promise that they will never divulge the sins confessed to them in private confession and absolution. You just need to ask the guy point blank, do you believe that? Or do you believe that there are exceptions that you can, you know, where you can break the seal of the confession? And if the guy is being honest and says, "No, I think there are exceptions," then you say, "Okay, thank you." And don't confess there. Find yourself a pastor who meant what he said when he made the ordination vows. You think that's the end of confession? Oh, no. Then there's the daily confession that happens in our lives between Christians, right? Because we daily sin much against each other. And God's will for his people is that on their mouths constantly be this word of forgiveness to each other. So, what is it people usually say? You know, the husband and wife had a fight, and the one guy, you know, the husband will say, "I'm sorry, I shouldn't have lost my temper." And what's the wife oftentimes say?
"Oh, gosh. Well, if she's in a magnanimous mood, okay, don't worry about it.
No okay, problem. Don't worry about it. If she's not in a magnanimous mood, maybe like, okay, don't do it again." But you know, what's God's plan for his people is that in this moment, each one of us turns to the other and literally we recognize we have no direct relationship with each other. All of our relationship is founded in Christ. And so we speak the word of forgiveness to each other so that if the husband that offended, "I'm sorry, I should not have done that. I should not have lost my temper and spoken to you that way. Will you please forgive me?" The answer, we need to train our people on this. Yes, in the name of Jesus Christ, I forgive you that. That is so much more powerful than "it's okay, don't worry about it," because it's not okay, and it is something you're going to worry about, you know? But when Satan hears, "in the name of Jesus Christ, that is forgiven," that's the stuff that he knows. That, I mean, this is the dynamite that explodes Satan's grasp and kingdom among people, right? He cannot endure and continue to work where forgiveness of sins begins to flow freely and is spoken constantly to one another.
I want you to say one last thing on that, especially since you use the example of husbands and wives. My experience is that women burn longer than men do. When I've made my wife angry, and it is my own fault, sometimes I need to let her cool off a little bit, because there's a time and a place for everything. I can confess, but I might have to wait a while for her to simmer down.
Yeah, and there are times that if you even come back and confess too fast, it seems trite to what is. It's like, are you trying to make it all better by you know, taking the high road there? We can have time as we work this out. The Bible does give a time frame, though, to keep in mind, right? What does the Bible teach us about that?
Sundown.
Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to bed angry with each other. Work it out before then. Now, one of the things that's really hard when we forgive those who have really wronged us is you think, I say to the person, "I forgive you," but then I'm worrying about it again 2 seconds later. That's okay. All that is another opportunity for you to stop, remember, and forgive one more time. That's all that is. And so when you speak that word of, you know, your wife needs a little bit of time, give her the little bit of time, then let her speak that word to you. And if she needs to come back and say, I'm really struggling with this again. I'm very upset with what you did. You can go back and say, I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? And just continue to do this. This is the power of God to literally break sin in our lives, forgiveness. And I end up the chapter where I, something that I never really thought about is when Peter asks, so, you know, surely there's got to be a limit here. How often does my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? That's a very good biblical number, right? That's reasonable. And Jesus blows his numbers away with seven times? Make it 77 times or 70 times seven. You can't really tell which one it is from the Greek. So, you know, and when Peter asks, if my brother sins against me, was he looking at Andrew? So think about how hard it is in a family. That's where a lot of times the speaking the word of forgiveness is really, really difficult. But that's a place where Jesus urges us, especially if your brother sins against you, dump it. Dump the counting and simply be the forgiveness person, the person who is ready to forgive over and over and over again. You say, I don't have that capacity. No, you don't. He does. And that is what his cross was about. In your contact with Jesus, you have tapped into a source of forgiveness that cannot be exhausted. Ever. Ever. And that's what he wants to let loose in our personal relationships, that we speak the word of forgiveness very freely to each other, way beyond any human capacity. I mean, because we each have a capacity to hurt another person far more than they have a capacity to forgive us, but not in Christ.
Pastor Will Whedon is Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He hosts a radio program called Thy Strong Word, and he's author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for January, titled Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Will, thank you.
Thank you so much, Todd.
Pastor Whedon will be making the case for godliness at the 2018 Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. He'll be joined by Hank Hanegraaff, Pastor Hans Feeney, Craig Parton, Scott Klusendorf, Dr. Angus Manouge, and Pastor Jonathan Fisk. Early bird registration is $110. Registration after March 1st is $120. Meals are included. You can register by check, make your check payable to Issues, Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also register online at issuesetc.org. It's the premier conference for Christian laity, the Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois, about 15 miles east of St. Louis. When we come back, we're going to conclude our five-part series on progressive versus classical Lutheran education. We'll conclude it by talking about the catechism, the function of catechizing our children in the home and in the school. Dr. Thomas Korchak will be our guest.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
This book is all about how to help recover piety in the house.
Pastor Will Whedon, talking about his new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety.
What do you do when people have confused a legalistic pietism for any form of Christian piety? And by piety, I just mean godly habits.
Learn more about Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey at issuesetc.org.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Kristan. The 6 engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholes. Learn more by clicking the Kata Kristan logo at issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.